We are reading from Kabbalah for the Student in page 428, letter 40. We are reading from the article Preface to the Book of the Zohar. Once more, Kabbalah for the Student, page 428, letter 40. Remind you, you may find the article on Kabda.tv, as well as ask questions live. Chosen relevant questions will be asked live during the question. Once again, Kabbalah for the Student, article Preface to the Book of Zohar, page 428, letter 40. He named himself El, Elohim, Shaddai, Tzvaot, and Eke, so that every single attribute in him would be known. The 10 names in the Torah that are not to be erased pertain to the 10 Sefirot, as it is written in the Zohar, Vayikra. The Sefira Keter is called Eke. The Sefira Chochma is called Yudke. Meaning in this form, we depict, symbolize the attitude of the upper one towards us. And the Sfira of Bina is called Havaya, punctuated Elokim. The Sfira Chesed is called Kel. The Sfira Gvura is called Elokim. The Sfira Tiferet is called Havaya. The two Sfirot, Netzach and Hog, are called Tzvaot. The Sfira Yesod is called El Chai. And the Sfira Malchut is called Adni. These are the nine Sfirot, or the nine attributes, the nine bestowals of the Creator upon us, upon me. Why are they called unerasable? Because from the side of judgment, like, you can't erase them, you can't write them, you can't correct them. Why? Because the sign that's from above, below, they come to the creature, and the creature has no participation in this at all. It's simply like this, from above, below, like the first nine. And then we have Malchut and its reaction to what the first nine influenced to it, according to how they can be bestowed back in return, returning light and so on. But from above below, they are the constant thing, the upper light which influences Malchut, as we learn in the four phases of direct light. We can't do a thing. The light that created the existence from absence, this desire to receive, began to develop it. And then there are four stages in which the will to receive comes to its fruition, to its ripeness, that it begins to react by itself. That's it. Here, the operation of the Creator ends. So we have root, 1, 2, 3, 4, and the fourth phase begins to react. I don't want you, I want restriction, I want to resemble you, a screen, and so on. This belongs to the creature. But beforehand, root, 1, 2, 3, 4, until the world of infinity, truly, including it. This is called the actions of the Creator. And thus they are unerasable. The creature here does not participate at all. There's still no creature. There's still no reaction. There's still no will to receive here, that which feels that I, that is me, receive from him, and that I have shame, and I am opposite to him, and I don't want this, and so on. That Malchut feels beyond this, the first nine Sefirot included in her. And thus, the operations of the Creator are in the first nine. And Malchut is already the creature, meaning that same desire, that after the influence of the first nine can react. And this first reaction is called the creature. And what is this reaction of the creature? As we learn the four phases of direct light, I want to restrict myself and I want to resemble you. That's it. Two actions only. And these two actions how can I say this? They are realized in everything that we have from this first restriction through this entire process from above, below above. Yes, in these three axes in our history, the descent below, in our history here, and the ascent back to infinity. So we call these states the first state, the second state, and the third state accordingly. This is the reaction of the creature that is lengthening over the apparitions of the first nine, that the names of the Creator are revealed in her. What is this? All the different forms of the influence, of the bestowal of the light towards it. Or you could say that these names are all sorts of appearances of the connection or for and against what's in them. Because who feels these names? The Malchut, the creature. Is there first nine without Malchut? No. It's all felt in Malchut. And thus, we need to understand what is called Ekye, the attitude of Malchut towards a special Sfira. Let's say Adni, Elohim, Tzvaot, Shaddai. All these names is the attitude of Malchut towards the appearance of the Creator in her. Well, you can actually speak quite a bit about this, but he's not actually expanding so much upon this here. Okay. Regarding these ten names, why specifically these, and why were such names formed? Why? Well, this we have to approach the first Havaya, Yudke Vavke, which comes to us from the first expansion of the four phases of direct light. Then, to see the attitudes of each one towards Malchut, and to detail it, what is Yud, what is Vav, what is Daled, what is the slant, and so on. According to these details of the letters. Zohar actually speaks quite a bit about this. How the Daled was formed from the letter Reish, where like this little thing sticking out from the Reish, which turns it into the letter Daled, according to its written. And one is called the shut, and one is called the open. All these attributes, they're meant to show, where do they come from? From the point of the Malchut, that black point of desire that was imprinted by the upper light. And this point of desire that begins to react upon the upper light, so reacts either in width or in height, either towards light of Chokhmah or towards light of Chasadim. And accordingly, we have all sorts of forms. Like flat and not deep. We have all sorts of attributes that are below the surface, which are time and motion. That this sort of brings us space. Who created these names? No one made them up. You could say the Creator, the Light, created these names because it operated upon this point of Ukma, this black point that was imprinted in her. It operated upon her point to bestow, and this point began to react. So her reaction is the forms of the letters that we have, with the whole forms of Tanta. Ktarim and all these things there. But these forms are our expression in our world of the attitude between the light and vessel. Now, you can say, where does the language come from? Well, that's a bit harder. From this, the will to receive, when it comes to a paltzuf, it begins to be built inside the paltzuf from the sefirot, and these attributes from these ten names, it begins to be built in its internal forms. The Sefirot comprised inside, in the height and in the width. The root, 1, 2, 3, 4, or Mocha, Samot, Gidin, Basav, and Or, that these Sefirot begin to be arranged between them in height and in width, they begin to include in them, between the Sefirot, to form inside some, I don't know how could I say this, an assembly, some structure, some, then you have, let's say, I don't know, like heart, liver, lungs, kidneys, and so on. These like groups of Sefirot that are formed, that are collected, collaborated in this sort of form in the spiritual thoughts of. And then we have these different collaborations, a spiritual body, forces that, as a result, from which we begin to feel on our level, that same depiction in our Masach, back here, we begin to feel it like as a body, as a corporal body. It seems to us in our body here that we activating the lungs, the five tubes of breathing, that they come to the throat and the five gaps in the mouth and different vowels, pronunciations, and then like we're, what's coming from my mouth is like hevel. It's all a spiritual form. It just seems to us that this is like corporal things. Let's say after this, is, this reaches somebody's ears, it hits somebody's eardrum, and then it turns into an electrical signal, and then electrochemical, and then it comes to understanding, and we don't understand how this works. It's so amazing. It's all in the soul. It's just presented, depicted to us as if it exists in some body, something corporal. And it's all the Shemot. And how this like works out in my mind, with my memory, and this that I'm identifying what I'm told, different sounds, senses, images, it's all light and vessel. I have nothing more beyond this. And thus, we speak about this so much, and Zohar speaks about this so much, and the preface here, he wants to explain it to us so precisely, because the
my attraction towards it, my exertion to depict it in its true form, the way it happens in spirituality, this brings me to the truth, that nothing besides this does not exist. All the bodies, all I see and feel and pass on to the other, it's all imagination. Besides these influences, these 10 erasable names, unerasable names, there is nothing. And the extent to which the will to receive has a tendency to compare to them. Does the Creator have more names or only these 10 names? Anything you can say, a cow says moo, that's also the name of the Creator. It's a response of the will to receive to some kind of an influence upon it. The whole Torah are called the names of the Creator because there we're being told about the response of matter to the light, to compare to. Therefore, it's called the names of the Creator. Because there we're talking about the response and which kind of response. Bilam, Balak, Pharaoh, the serpent. Are these holy names? Are these the names of the Creator? Yes. These are his actions towards us. This is what we discover. And other actions in our world, which I sense now, of course, there's none else besides him. Yes. So I don't get it. There is he and their name that as a result of comparison. Those 10 names are the result of the 4 phases of the direct light. This is why they're called unerasable. All the rest, they come as a result of my response, my work from below up to compare. The whole Torah is the revelation from below up and my connection to the Creator. These unerasable names, this is His influence over me before my response. Of course I discovered it. Of course I feel it. Of course I've reached a state where I'm completely like Him in a way that there's no difference between us whatsoever. And then I've discovered that this is His true bestowal, His true influence over me, because I've become like these 10 names, these 10 sefirot. And so I've discovered that they come directly from Him. Otherwise, how do I know this? Okay. So let's Gisha. With respect to the form of the letters, the Zohar describes these letters that they seem the way they do. So where did Rashi invent that kind of writing? Where do you have English, Chinese, Hindu? No, it doesn't have to do with the source. Wait a second. If a person has invented something, I'm telling you about a moo, a cow that says moo. This is how it calls out to the Creator. So a person who invented also a beast, but more sophisticated than a cow, who has invented for himself a language, some expression, something, doesn't mean that it came to him from nature. Where did he take it from? Is there something besides nature? When I realize something, doesn't it mean that it comes as a result of the influence of the different forces upon me, which are all in all the Creator? Is there someone else besides Him? So what are you asking about? A person from his nature, which is in different states, conditions, corruptions. He invents all these things. The revelation of the Creator to His creatures can exist only in these very rich, various forms that are before us. See, they couldn't do it in Babylon and different other states, but only when it's revealed to the very end, you have to reveal it all. Look how many languages came from Babylon. How many confusions, how many things. And all this in order to see, in order to elaborate these names of the revelation of the Creator to His creatures. You can't respond, you can't correct if you don't see all the corruptions, all the parts completely dispersed. It seems to you that a certain part didn't break, that this part, you can reconstruct it, that you can do something. You start engaging in it and you see that that's it. There is no one part that has any memories or recollection of the correction, that we try each and every, this is what we have to come to, that we try each and every generation to achieve some corrections. When we reveal, then we reveal that everything is broken. When we'll reach a state where we'll say that, okay, everything is broken. From that point on, we will demand the Messiah. Let's, item 41. Had His light not expanded on all creations by seemingly clothing in these holy sefirot, how would the creatures come to know Him? And how would they keep the verse, "The whole earth is full of His glory"? In other words, by that it explains the godly desire to appear to the souls as if all these changes in the sefirot are in Him. It is in order to give the souls room for sufficient knowledge and attainment in Him. For then the verse, "The whole earth is full of His glory," shall come true.
כמו שאמרנו לעיל, באות למד גימל.
Questions? We already talked about it. Eli's from the city of Ramat Aviv is asking, what does it mean that it seems to us that we're corporeal? Is it as a result of the revelation of none else besides him? Now, it doesn't seem to me so. I know that only this world exists and that things happen only here. There's this place, Ramat Aviv, and also Petach Tikva, and Eli, and I. This is what is revealed. So we learn that we're in a certain dream, and this is how this dream is envisioned in us, and we needn't work against it, no. But to discover besides it another form, more internal, more real, and we don't build this form ourselves, only that we demand for the upper power to come, which is the power bestowed, besides the power of deception, and this whole world working corresponding to the world to receive all the molecules and everything on all levels, the still vegetative, animate speaking, it all speaks according to the, it all works corresponding to this force. Not like you try to do something in this world. It's the same like you try to, I don't know, like give in this world. It's the same form of reception, only working against itself. There can't be plus without a minus. But there is the quality of bestowal itself and an additional reality where everything is the opposite in the form of bestowal. And all this reality is in you and you're in it and you work in it and live in it. But all this is concealed from you. You have a double life. Only you don't reveal this with respect to that reality. You're asleep, sleeping, disconnected, unconscious of it. You want to come to know it, to get to know it. There's a possibility to wake up. And then the wisdom of Kabbalah, it comes and discovers to you this double life, your second life, in which you already are. And then that life starts to reveal to you in such a great intensity that all this life, you start feeling it really as a dream, as something unrealistic. It's that small and so airy. But it comes gradually through the means that they have left us, those Kabbalists. How is that reality greater than this one? It's eternal. It's harmonious. It's, we'll see, this is what they say. What do I care? I care because in the current, what I mind is for in this reality to be revealed some kind of a connection to that reality. Suddenly there's this desire, like in a dream. I slept and I woke up. There's a certain desire in me that woke up. There was a certain machine that works and woke me up, like an alarm clock. It woke me up and I woke up. And it's the same with us. We sleep and sleep and sleep in this world and suddenly we feel a certain urge to wake up towards that reality. And whoever wishes to wake up, he gets or he's been given the means. Why doesn't this happen naturally? It is desired that you'll acknowledge, you'll get to know this, you'll enter it the very same way as if you build that reality, that you will know everything down to the smallest detail, that you'll begin from scratch. So as if you are creating that reality, and if you already acquire it, you acquire it not from below that you participate in it, but as if it is already in you, you swallow it. This is how you come to it. So it means that you, in such a attitude towards that reality, you constantly envision yourself, you compare yourself to the Creator, to the force ruling there, to the extent to which you're equal to Him, to that extent you enter that reality. The need for this comparison is called shame. Well, that's not that important now. Let's continue then. Maybe we'll finish. Item 42. Yet, woe unto one who ascribes any measure of him who would say that there is a measure in him for himself, even in these spiritual measures by which he appears to the souls. It is all the more so in the corporeal measures of the human nature, which are made of dust, and are transitory and worthless. As we have said above, although it is a godly wish for the souls to see that the changes in them are in the giver, it should nonetheless be clear to the souls that there is no change and measurement in him whatsoever. It is only a godly wish that they will imagine so, as it is written, and by the ministry of the prophets have used similitudes. And should they err in that, woe unto them, for they will instantly lose the godly abundance. It is even more so with the fools who ascribe him some incident of the transitory, worthless flesh and blood incidents. And it is good for a person to look up these ten sefirot and the three worlds of Bia, and there is no place to prolong. Meaning that this approach, it gives us the stable point of the attitude towards divinity. The Book of Zohar is a means as to how we acquire the book, the spirituality, this reality, that all comes from the depiction in me, that everything is revealed in me according to the relations between my desires, according to the extent to which I arrange my internality. Besides my desire, I have nothing, but the desire, it has to be with respect to something that bestows.
Let's say I'm told, do this towards the others. What appears to you now is others. And what others, what appears to you as others, are those same desires for the Creator that appear to you as yearning for the Creator, just along with this appear to you as others. There's no bodies here. Rather, there is some gap, some field in which they are revealed in their desires, like, marbles. And they are all yearning for bestowal. Along with this, they feel between them hate, distance, repulsion. These desires have to come to mutuality, alvut. And the extent that they all succeed in doing this, each one towards the others, it just seems to him, though, that they exist, because they exist only in his imagination. But when he'll overcome his imagination, then he wants to connect them, to join him, to enjoin them to himself. Each one reveals his connection with the internal system, that they are found to be in him. You remember how Bala Sulam writes for us in Revelation and Concealment of the Face of the Creator? That it's all in my attitude towards others, that they appear to me such as successful or stupid or healthy or sick. It's all my attributes, all my revelation and concealment of the light, that the light stabilizes this picture for me, towards me. And each one that works seemingly on the friends needs to depict to himself that all their points in the heart are elements of his soul, parts of his soul, that this corporal imagination is in this, that they seemingly belong to others, and then there is this repulsion. This repulsion is in order for him to see this repulsion in this distance, specifically that same ego that needs to turn into a connection. And then it's revealed to him in this unique vessel, the quality called the quality of the bestowal, or the Creator. This is actually the preface to the Book of the Zohar. This is one of four introductions we have to the Zohar. We have gone over many things that he's telling us here. But what is he telling us about? Restrictions, that we need to restrict ourselves in order to focus ourselves, direct ourselves to what is called the entrance to spirituality, in, width and height, different possibilities, different axes in which we can actually escape to from the direct straight line towards it. Also in this, specifically when we banish these external obstacles and colors, worlds, firot, and different things, how we have to imagine the entire reality within us, and how we need only to understand that in the effort to bring it to the unique vessel after the breaking, and my internal one, that each one should, everyone should say that it's my vessel. In this, we all come to revelation. Well, what's the advice to man who's stuck? That he wants to make this step, but he doesn't have enough force to make this passage. Nobody has force, Rav says. But we're speaking about not the force to do, but the force to desire is what we need. If I don't know something, let's say I can always look at this form of a child, learn this always. I know that a small child, he will not let you rest if you truly want something. You know, sometimes you can confuse him, but usually he will draw you someplace and show you that this is what he wants and that you should give him what he wants. He himself does not attain it, but he has this desire. The nature is giving him this. This is the difference between the corporal natural development, which is beastly, still vegetative and animate, and the development of the degree of the speaking. Because a child corporally is also the animate level. But we're speaking about the Adam, man, who's resembling the Creator. There we have to equip ourselves with our deficit. And where do I take a deficit from? Nature inserts this deficit, I don't know, in baby chicks, baby ducks, and every single species, you know, even plants. He gives them this desire to grow. Look at trees sometimes, you know, how they grow in these different forms, that they have to grow around different things and around stones. And I don't have such a thing, you know. If without the suffering and the awakening that I get, the point in the heart and the environment, I wouldn't come to this Kabbalah at all. I wouldn't even think about this direction. So where do I take such forces? You know, like, nature shows me some reality. How, look what force you need, even in our world. Look at our world, how much forces we need to grow. And in spirituality, it's multiple fold. Where do I take this from? I need to find it. Without the precedence of this force that I demand, that I obligate the upper one, it's all according to this sentence, you know, Nitzchuni Banai, that my sons have won me over. Like, to be like a child who obligates the upper one. Without this, there's nothing. Let's say a person has no desire, though. He's like stupid. That's called stupid. He has no desire. What can you do? You have nothing to do with him. So, this deficit you can find only in the group. That's it. What is the group? In those same points in the heart that appear to you as present in the others. They are called others. Not the 7 billion people you have in the world. And not the bodies of your friends here. Rather, your friends' points, their yearning for the spiritual revelation. You need to gather those. And from them, you'll receive the desire for advancement. And all the time, during the whole path to the end of correction, when you need to ascend to the next degree, you have to receive a deficit from the environment. You collected the environment a bit more, it's called you're ascending. A bit more, you're ascending more. A bit more, and you ascend more. Until you reach infinity, meaning that you have connected everyone to the final level, to yourself. And then, accordingly, you reveal the absolute, total bestowal. And then, the advancement by connection with others disappears. Because you've completed the correction. You've entirely connected. So what onwards? Well, that we don't know. How we connect on, how we advance onwards, we don't yet know. Because, you know, seemingly, like, where's that same fuel, the force which you can advance with? I'm familiar with, I hear every day about tens and hundreds of friends who watch us, are present with us, and they truly are familiar with us. And I can even say this about myself. There are states in which you don't even have the force to turn to this, that, you know, you say, you tell us always turn to the group, you get the deficit. But sometimes I don't even have a force for that. What can I do to make this first step? Also turn to the group. This is called the deficit before the deficit. The prayer before the prayer. You're not new. You're not revealing new things. We need only to believe these great ones that have left us the means, these means, the teacher, books, the group, that this is enough, besides the upper one, of course, besides the upper force, it's enough to awaken the surrounding light, the upper force upon us. There is no more that we can do. You read this also in different places, in different articles they wrote. This is everything we have. All the rest is found in your hands. You can wait. There is a path called in due time until the additional deficits will awaken, problems, suffering. That then your desire to exit your present state, that will grow. And well, what the mind does not do, the time does. But can everyone turn to the group? I guess so, I don't know. Theoretically, yes. Actively, it's not simple. But Turning to the group is dependent upon the group's ability to turn to everyone. So you have to work not only directly from each one towards the group. It's easier to awaken the group, to operate upon all of us, to awaken all of us. And in this manner we can truly get to something. Reach something. Okay. Yes, Chaim. Rav, in about 10 more days, there'll be many events around the world, gatherings of friends from around the world. The broadcast will be from Italy, but we also have gatherings in South America, Mexico, Colombia, different other places around the world. There are points, like, it's like in points in space that I have to connect them. But why should I not just sit at home and connect them in front of the Creator? I'll imagine points in my head and connect them. We are speaking about impression. The impression one receives from society. I still exist in five corporal senses. And when I sit at home, it's not the same thing like when I sit here physically. When I sit in front of the TV, it's not the same thing like when I sit in front of a radio. There is a difference. Kabbalists have obligated us to be in connection. They tell us, only in connection, and truly a physical connection, they say, you know, gather, make meals, different actions. Only by this connection, we come to a more internal connection, from externality to internality. That's our way. And thus, if a person is not awakened from time to time with people who are similar to him according to the internal desire to reach the Creator, without this he can't ascend. We see this from the past, that all the Kabbalists would gather in groups. In any case, you had the group of the Ari, Ramchal, Baal HaSulam, Rabash, our group, and all of us. From the time of Abraham, who opened up the tent back then to gather people, what did he need to do this for? Because the correction is by gathering between humans. And even Abraham, he did it corporally. It's also like we see in Babel and different things you can imagine from our world. It's not all some imagination. However we do imagine it, that's how it begins, from this degree. From this imagination, this depiction. Unless we have no choice, we must do this as well. Zohar is also written this way, that 10 Kabbalists should meet and write it. In our days, in order for us to make a group from 7 billion people, the internet has developed.
And all the rest of kinds of media, why did they develop? All is only for the purpose of correction. But nonetheless, these things are only in order for us to be able to be in a global connection all around Earth, because we can't all fit into one place, 7 billion people. But the physical connection has to occur from time to time. We had such friends and have such friends that live alone in some remote, very distant places. They live alone. I have a student. He has like the one, like the goat herder here in the north. There is a guy in Siberia, in Russia. 300 kilometers around him, nothing, empty, only horses, special horses. He grows special horses, this is why he lives this way. Or there were those in Antarctica, on the North Pole, and they learned from there. Different people, but a person, nonetheless, has to get into this personal, physical contact with the others and try to be together. And by this, he reaches a sufficient connection in order to advance, even if it won't happen regularly or constantly, even if there's no group next to him. And it's preferable to have a group next to him, preferable to open a center, and preferable to have several people studying there. It's worthwhile, but in the worst case, at least he comes from time to time to such meetings, and this is a must. And besides, it was a must for such a meeting to occur for a period of time. Psychologically, and from what we see in the Torah, a period of time in which a person could get and delve into some matter is a period of 3 days. And this is why, more or less, this is the period of time that we are together. Therefore, I do not recommend a person to come only for half a day, to come, see what's going on, and go back. But come at least for 2 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like. But it's preferable to come for 3 days. And this is what we do, both in Italy and also a month later in Israel. And I really recommend and hope that all of our friends and all of our places will be with us. You have to really prepare yourself for it, create a deficiency, to understand that we have a special page on the internet. They should get on that page, read the materials. It's like a beautiful meal worthwhile coming to. You should come hungry. It's the same here. You could get something out of it corresponding to the importance and understanding. Rav, you also said that you mentioned there is a need for a physical connection. Is there a need, and maybe in the future we'll see more and more centers and groups that are assembled all over the world, physical groups? I think so. I don't think that it could shift only to internet. I'm pretty sure of it. And this is also what we see, and it's human nature physically to be together, although it awakes many problems, ego and hatred and competition. But we have to understand that these are the conditions from when, precisely from these conditions, do you see our mountain of hatred that you can climb? Otherwise, how will you discover what separates between you and the Creator? You might already think you're corrected. Therefore, it is hard being together. But this is the example, the right introduction, the right demonstration of the way we should be with our qualities. Therefore, I don't think that a person who's somewhere out there in a virtual connection can feel it and for it to satisfy him in order to advance. The hatred, the rejection, the competition, my attitude towards others, looking at them only in a way of what's better in me compared to them, how can I use them? All this approach of mine, I have to learn without revealing the evil inclination, what do I have to correct? Therefore, it's extremely important. There are such groups that go through extremely hard periods. They get separated and destroy everything and get together again. And I'm looking at this as something good. You know, a child that grows, he has to have a few child illnesses. It's not illnesses. It's correspondingly gets this inner vaccine. Can't do anything about that. We need it. Therefore, let's first of all unite on this meeting, international meeting, on January, and afterwards in a month on February, and then we'll see. Then we'll see what to do. But of course, from these gatherings we'll learn more and more how to put together these small centers everywhere we have friends. We also talk about the importance of the preparation for all these meetings. How do you offer a new student to prepare himself the best possible way for such a meeting? We study Matan Torah, Arvut, peace in the world. We learn articles about society, that's the only place where we can realize ourselves, the connection between us, and in the connection between us to reveal the Creator. So there's no other place to do it. Such a gathering place, it's a sort of a state of Mount Sinai for you. If we could accumulate our forces, get together, each one wave his ego in order to connect all the rest of the desires which are actually his, we could make it on the spot and break into the spiritual realm. And by this we conclude. Rav Lightman's lecture in Bet Kabbalah La'am takes place today and every Tuesday, 112 Jabotinsky Street, the city of Petah Tikva. Admission is free, everyone is invited, and the lecture is translated into English, Russian, Spanish, French, Italian, and German, and is broadcasted on CAP TV. Zohar Lam Convention 2010, Revealing a New Reality. 3 days of lessons with Rav Lightman. Songs, cultural events. We thank you for all the creative ideas you're sending us. Please continue sending us ideas for short clips, different events, ideas. And now we shall watch a clip. This is Zohar, the book of all books in the Kabbalah. Immediately after it was written, was sealed by 1,000 locks and roamed the world for 2,000 years, only in order to be revealed now. Zohar Lam for Convention 2010, Revealing a New Reality, 22nd to the 24th of February, Exhibition Gardens, Tel Aviv. For further information, 1-700-509-209 or get on cub.co.il. By this we conclude. Have a great day and a great night. יש לנו עולם אחד, הוא מאוד רגיש. אם נביט בו מהצד, הוא דומה לאיש שכל תא באיבריו חי בהשפעה. בין אדם לחבריו יש רק אהבה. כולנו חלקים של השלם, חיים בינינו את ההשפעה. רוצים להתאחד עם הנותן, לחיות כמוהו את האהבה. המשבר העולמי כבר גלוי לכל, זה אינו עניין גשמי, יש מה לאכול. שברור הפתרון, אין יותר ברירה, כל הדור האחרון חי בהשפעה. כולנו חלקים של השלם, חיים בינינו את ההשפעה. רוצים להתאחד עם הנותן, לחיות כמוהו את האהבה. החיים הם התנועה אל המטרה, החוקים של הבריאה הם ההשפעה. עתידו של העולם הוא הנתינה, בין אדם לכל אדם יש רק אהבה. כולנו חלקים של השלם, חיים בינינו את ההשפעה. רוצים להתאחד עם הנותן, לחיות כמוהו את האהבה. כולנו חלקים של השלם, חיים בינינו את ההשפעה. רוצים להתאחד עם הנותן, לחיות כמוהו את האהבה.